Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Glad to be in the house of God this morning. And for those who are here and those who are on the phone and those who are back, the media room has online, we thank God for his goodness. Thank God for Brother Byron this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. For each one of you, and I know we are lifting up Pastor Jenkins, amen, in our hearts daily, multiple times. And we thank God for what he has already done and what we know that he has promised to do. But it's good to be in the house of God this day. At this time, we will look to the Lord in prayer. We always want to acknowledge our God in all things and give him glory. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for being God. We thank you, dear God, for having so much love, dear God. Lord, that you extended it, dear Father, to give your only begotten Son to die in our stead that we might become children of God. And so we thank you, dear God, for your tender mercy, for your love, for your goodness. Lord, you brought us, Lord, to the house of God today, dear Father, and we've gathered in your name, Lord, to worship you in the beauty of holiness, dear God. And truly, holiness is beautiful, dear Father.
Amen.
Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would have your way in everything that is said and done. We pray, dear God, that you would be glorified, Lord, in our lives and in our minds, in our hearts, Lord, and every word that is spoken, every prayer that is prayed, every song that is sung in praise and glory and honor to thee. And Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember those, dear God, who were able to be here. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember those, Lord, who are afflicted in body and who are not able to be here. For we know, Lord, that you are a God who is everywhere. We know, Lord, you are a God who sees everything. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would be with all of us, dear God, as we've gathered together, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd remember Pastor Jenkins in a special way. Father, we pray, dear God, that you would give her a touch, dear Father. Truly, Lord, we pray for her daily, as we said multiple times, dear God. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have already done on her behalf. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to touch and heal according to your will, dear Father. Lord, we know, dear God, that she's a chosen vessel unto thee, dear God. And we know, dear Father, that you're able, Lord, to take care of that vessel. And so we pray, dear God, that you would just bless her, dear God, undergird her, dear Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that you'd remember Sister Carol, Lord, in a special way. Father, we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for her, dear Father. Lord, we're praying, dear God, that you would give her, Lord, every day more strength, more strength, more strength, dear God. Lord, we pray, Lord, your healing on her, dear Father. We thank you, Lord, for what you have already done, dear God. But we know, Lord, you're not finished. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless her, dear God. Lord, be her guide and her stay in the name of Jesus. Remember Sister Lillian, dear God. Lord, we know, Lord, that she's ailing in her body, dear Father. Likewise, Lord, she needs your strength, dear Father. Lord, she has no strength of her own, dear God, but only in thee, dear God, does she have strength. And so, Father, we're praying, dear God, that you would give her a touch, dear God, this day, dear Father. Lord, this we beg of thee. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember, Lord, Sister Regina, dear Father, who's here. We thank you, Lord, for her, dear Father. Pray, Lord, you would continue to bless her, Lord, and be with her. Encourage her heart, dear Father. Remember her family in a special way, dear God. Lord, this we beg of thee in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Sister Smith this morning, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, you would continue to bless her, Lord, and be, Lord, her strong tower, dear God. Father, we know, Lord, you're able to bless her and keep her, Lord. Strengthen her on her job, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would bless her, dear Father, and keep your arms of protection around her, dear God, at all times. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Sister India this morning, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless her. Be with her, dear God. Lead, guide, and direct her, dear Father. Lord, we give you glory, Lord, for what you have already done in her life, dear God. Father, we know, dear God, that you're able, Lord, to supply her needs. We know, Lord, that you're able, Lord, to guide her footsteps, dear God, Lord, every day. And so, Father, we're praying, dear God, that you would be with her and bless her, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Brother Jackson, dear God. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you'd remember him in the name of Jesus, dear God. Remember Brother Levester, Lord. We pray, Lord, your touch upon his body, dear God. Lord, even a physical affliction, dear God, in his ears, dear God, since his flight out to California. But, Lord, we know you're able. We know you can touch. And, Lord, you are not limited, dear God, by anything. And so, Lord, just because you're touching Sister Jenkins, just because you're touching Sister Carol, because you're touching Sister Francine, Lord, the different ones who are afflicted, Lord, you can still touch Brother Levester. And so, Father, we're praying in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would touch him, dear God, in the name of your dear son. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember, Lord, Sister Saunders, Lord, down in Florida. Oh, Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless her, be with her, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would just encourage her heart, Lord, and be her strength, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Remember her family in a very special way, dear God, as we beg of thee. Lord, we thank you, dear God. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Brother Byron this morning, dear God. Lord, we thank you, dear Father, for all that you have done for him, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for giving him traveling mercies, dear Father. Lord, we thank you, dear God, for blessing him and his companion, dear God, to travel, Lord, and you brought them back safely, dear Father. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would bless Brother Byron, Lord, as he stands, dear God. Lord, it stands to serve you this morning, dear God. Lord, we pray, Father, that you would bless him, Lord, and give him utterance, dear Father, of your spirit, dear God. Lord, that he might say those things that are pleasing and right in your sight, Lord, that our souls, Lord, might be encouraged, dear God, in thee. Lord, remember, dear Father, his children, dear God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know all about them, dear God. Father, we pray, dear God, that they would, Lord, remember their Creator in the days of their youth, dear God. And we still think of them as being in youth, dear God. So, Father, we're praying, dear God, that you would bless and speak to their hearts, Lord, as we beg of thee. Lord, remember our children downstairs, dear God. We thank you for them, dear God. We pray, Lord, that you would be with them, dear Father. We pray, Lord, that they would give attention, dear God, to your word, dear God. We thank you, Lord, for the attention that they gave even in Sunday school this morning, dear God. Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give them understanding, even deeper understanding, dear God, of your eternal word, that they might seek salvation, dear God, even while they're young, dear God. Father, remember Sister Lawrence and Brother Maurice, dear God, who are downstairs with the children. We thank you, Lord, for them and pray, Lord, your choice blessings upon them, dear God, even as they do you service, Lord, as they minister to the children, dear God. Lord, remember Brother Reggie, dear Father, in a special way, and remember his companion, Miss Nancy, dear Father. Oh, Lord, we pray, dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bless, be with them. Pray, Lord, your touch upon Miss Nancy, Lord, in her body and also in her soul, dear God. Oh, Lord, this we beg of thee in the name of your dear son. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would remember, Lord, those who are on their way, dear God, that you would give them traveling mercies, dear Father. Lord, because they're pressing, in many cases, they're pressing their way to get to the house of God. And we consider that there's so many others who are not even giving it a thought, not even a consideration. Lord, we pray, dear God, that those who are on their way, dear God, you would give traveling mercies, dear Father. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would just continue to bless, have your way, Lord, be glorified in our hearts today. And Lord, we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory shall be thine. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
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 Amen. Shall we turn in our evening light? Page 40. 40 of the evening light.
Praise God.
40 in the evening light. bless the Lord. Thank the Lord.
Amen. For those who are on the phone,
yes.
Sister Jenkins and Brother Tony are here.
Yes. Oh, we give God glory.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. My God,
Praise
God. Amen, amen, amen. What a mighty God we serve. Amen. Amen. God.
Hallelujah. Praise
Jehovah.
Hallelujah. Praise
Jehovah.
Amen.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. From the heaven, praise Him. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All His angels praise proclaim. All His hosts together praise Him. Sun and moon and stars on high. Praise Him, all ye heavens of heaven. And ye blessed above the sky. Let them praise and give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky. Let them praises give Jehovah. They were made at His command. Them forever He established. His decree shall ever stand. From the earth, oh, praise Jehovah. Oh, ye bloody dragons all. Fire and hail and snow and vapor, stormy winds that hears His call. Let them praise and give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted. And His glory is exalted far above the earth and sky. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens kings of earth and all ye people, princes, graders, judges all, praise His name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praise to give Jehovah, for His name alone is high. And His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, and His glory is exalted, far above the earth and sky.
Amen.
Truly thank God to be here today. Sister Blake,
yes.
Minister Jenkins, thank the Lord, saints and friends, amen, to be here today. And thank God for each and every one of you. And I stand before you in the presence of the Lord to do the work of the Lord, amen. And thank God for all that He's done. And thank you for your prayers to be back from out west. I'm a little gravelly in voice. The weather was rough out there and smoggy and all kinds of stuff. And there's no gook in me. There's no stuff like that. You know, you might hear me clear my throat every now and then, but all of us clear. There's no gook in it. So that's why I'm before you, or I would have stayed away. But truly thank God to be here, and thank God to be in your presence, and truly thank him for his blessings always. Praise ye Jehovah in the highest. And as I was singing that song and listening to the writer, you know, everything in there, the sun, the moon, all those things, praise him. How do they praise him? Because they're up there. They're doing what they were set to do. Amen. The only thing in there is mankind that has been the one to not always be obedient to God. But the birds do what they're supposed to do. The trees do what they're supposed to do. Even when there's a burnout, like we see over in Maui, you'll look again and years later be all green and nice again. Amen. They do what the purpose they were sent to do. Amen. It's only man that has chosen to not be obedient to the will of God. Amen. Amen. The snow falls, even in the song when he says it should fall, and water the ground. Amen. Thank the Lord for his goodness, his plan of salvation, his creation, and all that's in it. Amen. 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 Well, thank the Lord to be here and before you to read responsively the reading found in the second book of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. Second Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, and we'll read responsibly. Amen. 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 The reading of God's word is important, and we want to be patient with all those that will share in and looking for the scriptures. Yes, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 1 through 14. Amen. 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 All right, 2 Peter chapter 3, starting with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance.
That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior.
Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts,
and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water.
Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and 1,000 years as one day.
The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness?
Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness together. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Amen.
We truly thank God for the reading of his word, and we ask his blessing on all of those that have heard it this morning. And we ask God to have favor amongst those that are listening in this day and going to receive a message from God based on the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen.
Well, truly thank God for all that he has done for us and what he's doing for us. And, you know, as we gather together, each and every one of us truly come together to fellowship one with another. Mm-hmm. We have a prayer. We have something that we want to ask the saints to gather around and offer up to the Lord. So at this time, we'll ask if your prayer request can be made known to God and unto men, that when we offer a prayer this day, that God will hear from on high. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sister Smith? Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Smith. Sister Smith's concerned about godly life before God. Time is getting short. Thank the Lord for you, Sister Smith, and we'll continue to remember your loved ones and your family. Amen. Brother Tony? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Tony. Brother Tony said his prayer this morning is that none would be lost. You know, that's what Jesus came for, that none would be lost. Let mankind come and hear his word, that they cannot be lost. So thank you, Brother Tony, for that request this morning. Brother, good to see you come in. Amen. Amen. Brother Levester. Amen.
No pain for this. Not me. I asked some prayer for that, and then also all of my family. My son William is here. Be a big help.
Amen. Amen.
Remember my son and all of my children. Angela, Jaden, all my grandchildren.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Levester, concerned about his family, his loved ones, his son. Truly all of them are in our prayers. Amen. And likewise, remember Brother Levester still trying to work through a little clogginess in his head and his sinuses. Mr. Dalton, any requests this morning? Amen. Amen. Mr. Dalton's concerned about his family, his daughter, and he's he's enjoying being here with the saints and looking for our prayers to be lifted up on his behalf. And pray, God, that you will continue to have faith and keep coming and receiving all that God would have for you to receive. Amen. Sister Holmes. Amen, amen. Sister Holmes, thanks the Lord to be here today. And she's thankful for her family that is caring for her and seeing her through. Amen, amen, amen. Sister India, go ahead. Suffer the little children to come unto me. Amen. Yes, Infinity. What do you have? She got her what? Okay. Well, Lord bless and continue to bless her and keep her. Sister Regina. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Regina, recognizing the Lord is blessing her family to be back home. Minister Jenkins.
Good morning, everyone. It's been praise and honor to God. I thank the Lord for blessing us to be able to be out today. You know, it is a little struggle. I didn't realize how much it was in this trip, but I thank God for all your prayers and what he's doing.
Amen.
I'm not complaining that he's complaining, but that God has really been good. To me, he's blessed. You know, Brother Tony tells me, you know, I have to crawl down the steps with my hands and lift myself back up. So just thank God that we're able to get here and reasonable about this amount of time. A little late, but we were here. I ask that you say a special prayer for a former co-worker of mine. She lost her husband in the video of dying on this coming Thursday. And just say, remember, she's her friend. Spoke with her on the phone yesterday, and she's coming around. Doing quite well up and walking. They have to have her walking and stuff every hour that she has to walk. So just remember her much in prayer.
Amen.
It's a little painful, but she's still up and going. But she's all going to be all right.
Amen. Thank the Lord. Minister Jenkins is so thankful to be here today. And yes. Amen. Thank the Lord. Amen. Sister Millicent.
Saying just continue to remember our children so much in prayer. I know last Sunday normally we have the children gather, and if they would come up this morning during prayer service so that we can pray for them in school, to remember them. Right? These are our children, and we want them to go through. We want protection upon them. Yes, we pray for you every day, but we want to say, you to know the saints are praying for you. So if you'll gather this morning, some of us will come down. The children, they can come up to the altar. But remember Jasmine and them much in prayer. One of her classmates that she went to school with committed suicide. They just found his body a little bit ago. So remember these children. He is only 16 or 17 years old. The ages of some of our children in here. We don't know why he committed suicide. He jumped off the thing down here in downtown. They just found his body a little while ago in the water. It hits all of us. Jasmine is very upset, and I can understand. It's just like I told her, I had prayer with her in the back. You all are our children. We may not have birthed all of you, but you are our children. We love you. We pray for you, even them that we don't know. I remember Sister Blake, when she had spoke about a young man, I believe it was, that got killed, and she knew him, and she said, he was in my class. That touches her. That touches the teachers. They bring you children up. They teach you every day that you're in school. It touches them too, as well as the parents. Sister Maria was talking to me after she had COA. And she says, Auntie, she says, or just before she had COA, excuse me. She says, Auntie, it takes a village to bring up children. And it does. The parents, the teachers, the aunts, the uncles, grandparents, we are all there for you. It's not just mom and dad. There's times they depend upon others to bring you up. The teachers are teaching you. Those teachers at that school are hurting too, to know one of their own. Kendall, who comes here sometimes, Jasmine's friend, she was just talking to him Friday in class. He sits one seat from her, and now he's gone. He went down there and jumped off that bridge for what reason, we don't know. But he's gone. It's a serious thing. His life is ended. He will never get to live with Jesus Christ, who died for him on the cross. That's why we pray for you each and every day, that God will keep your heads on straight. You walk away from crime. Walk away from, you see stuff going on, don't stay there. Walk away from it. You don't need to be in it. Too many things are happening. Children are influencing other children to do things that should not be done. Children are to grow up and enjoy life and allow parents to enjoy their children. Now these parents are grieving so badly, wondering why. We're probably blaming themselves. Where did we go wrong? You know, a parent does. Where did I go wrong? But we just ask that you remember our children. And if the children would come up to the altar, we'll be down to stand with you. But if you'll go come up to the altar for prayer this morning.
Amen. Minister Blake.
Just
remember Sister Webb. We don't see her yet. She may be on her way.
Yeah.
Remember Sister Webb, much in prayer. Remember Sister Lillian has a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Sister Lillian has a doctor's appointment tomorrow. Sister Carol has a doctor's appointment on Wednesday. Remember them much in prayer. And please remember me.
Amen. 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 Thank God to be here.
Amen.
And always keep me in your prayers and keep my family in your prayers. And
Sister Irene remembered me in prayer. I thank the Lord that he let me see another day. And thank you for his healing power. This is Sister Carol.
Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord for you, Sister Carol. Amen. Amen. Sister Mills.
Our sheet in our bulletin, kneel at the cross. Kneel at the cross. We'll sing verse 1 and 2. We'll sing all four verses, and then we'll sing the chorus.
Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Come while he waits for you. Lifting his voice, leave with him your care and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, there is room for all who would his glory share. Lift there away, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross, Jesus bid you come, drink from the fount of love. Lift there away in that heavenly home for all the saints above. Kneel at the cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to thy sparkling cup, trust only in his love. Kneel at the cross, leave every care, kneel at the cross, Jesus will meet you there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we truly thank God and thank God to see the children that are here today, and truly those that are going to gather around them as well, and all the prayer requests that have gone forth this morning. But have faith. Have faith. Know that according to faith, you are healed. According to faith, you have victory. According to faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. So according to faith, your sins can be forgiven. So let us know that faith is the only way we can please God. And we stand here this day in faith. Amen. In faith. That God will hear our prayers and that we have been obedient to his word, the truth of his word, and that he will hear from on high. So at this time, we'll go before the Father. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before thee in prayer, thanking you for each and every one that's represented here this day. And Father, as these have gathered around the throne and gathered here in faith, Father, knowing that thou is able to do all things, We're truly thankful this day that you have allowed us to come to the house of God to fellowship one with another and be found in your presence, realizing that thou hast blessed us this day to rise up and to start this day's journey. You have given us strength to these bodies. You gave us rest as we lie down. So we're truly thankful this morning to be in the house of God, to rejoice with one another and fellowship with one another in Jesus' name as we come before thee, realizing that you so loved us that you gave your only begotten Son. And you said that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we're thankful this morning to know that everlasting life comes through Christ and believing and having faith in the blood that he shed for our sins. So we ask that you would bless in a mighty way this day. We ask that you would remember each and every request that was brought before thee. I may not be able to name them all, but you know every heart and every mind and every soul that is represented here this day. And we ask that thou would hear from on high, hear our petitions on those behalf that may be not able to get through, but you know that those of us that have walked before thee in holiness and righteousness, you have given us the privilege of prayer and to come before you in faith and ask these many blessings. Now we ask that thou remember our children that are standing at the altar. We ask in faith that you would bless them and see them through. We realize that they've gone through a summer vacation and they're now to return back to school amongst their peers. So we ask that you would protect them as they go and that they be not influenced by things that are going on in the school other than the learning of the books. And we ask that thou would remember them and allow them to understand what they're being taught here in the house of God. So we ask in a special way that you would go before them, make their pathway sure, allow them to focus on the things that the teachers have and not the things that other peers and students have. So we just ask your many, many blessings upon these children and likewise others that they'll be in contact with. We realize children we don't see in church service and Sunday school service, Father, and we realize they don't know much about thee. So we ask that you would have mercy and remember these children that you have given us to teach and to guide and direct, and that the things that are said and taught to them will come to their remembrance, even as the scripture we read in 2 Peter said, it brings it to our remembrance. So bring it to these children's remembrance, the things that they are being taught of holiness and righteous living before thee. Now we ask your blessings likewise. We're thankful to see Minister Jenkins here. We ask that thou remember her in a special way, and we're thankful for her faithfulness unto thee. We're thankful that she pressed her way to be in the house of God, and it does lift our spirits to know that she can't stay away. She just loves thee and loves your word and loves your people. So we ask that thou will continue to bless her in a mighty way and bless all that she stands in need of, and likewise her companion by her side. We're truly thankful for Brother Tony, and we're thankful for his request this morning. Seeing that people are lost and undone as you go through this life, and he can only see that now that he's saved. And he sees the darkness of man's life, not knowing thee. And man is subject to do anything, say anything in this life. And he has learned that through coming and being a child of God now. So we ask that thou remember him in a special way. And likewise, remember his grandchildren in a special way. All of his grandchildren, all those that we see here and know that Sister Maria and Brother DeAndre and those grandchildren. So he has his quiver full of grandchildren. So we ask that thou remember him in a special way and his loved ones. He's concerned about them. So have him to continue to walk upright and that you will hear his prayers on their behalf. So we're truly thankful, Father, for Brother Levester being here today. And we ask that you'd remember him in a special way. And likewise, continue to bless him in body. He says he's still dealing with sinus issues from possibly the weather out west. And I know how he speaks of it. So, but we ask that thou would most importantly remember his family and his loved ones and those that he's concerned about their souls. And he's concerned about whether or not they're hearing and paying close attention even to his life and understanding what it truly means to be saved and delivered from this dark world. So we ask in a mighty way that you bless him. And likewise, Sister Holmes, we're thankful for her being here this day. Continue to bless her and see her through. And likewise, she's thankful for her family and thankful for all that you do for her as she continues to press on. Even up in years, you're still with her and you're able to guide and direct and see her through and encourage our hearts to know that thou hast longevity in thee and able to allow those that have been with thee for a great period of time to still be in our midst. Amen. Be thankful for it. Likewise, Sister India being here and her daughter by her side, Infinity, we ask that thou would bless and keep them in a special way. And we're thankful to know that you protected them when they had the blowout and that you kept them as they were in the way and there on the side of the road with a tire gone. So we're truly thankful that you watched over and saw her through. And as she said, she just started to lift up her voice to thee. And you heard, because she's here today and safe and sound. So we're truly thankful. Let her have faith to know that you heard and she's here today. And likewise, Sister Smith, we're truly thankful for her and we ask you to remember her in a special way. And remember her loved ones. Remember her grandchildren. Remember her daughter. Remember those that she cares about and always makes a request for. Oh, Father, she's truly looking to thee to bless in her family and just save one of them. But we can't say how many to save, but she's desiring that one of them will hear. Maybe another would follow. So we just ask that you'd have thine own divine way. Thankful for Sister Regina being here this day and ask that thou continue to remember her in a special way. We ask that thou would look down upon her with favor. And she's thankful for the prayers of the saints that bless somebody in her life too. Carry on and be blessed. So we're truly thankful that you heard on that behalf. And likewise, Sister Melita back in the media room, we ask that thou remember her in a special way, remember her family, remember her loved ones, remember her daughter in a special way this day. We realize they've had a peer at school that they know of that destroyed his life. You know all about it. So sad. We ask that thou remember that situation and remember these young people. Allow them to wake up and see that these things are real and that these things can happen. And we just ask that you would strengthen the ones, their minds and their hearts and their minds, that they not be involved with these things of the world that would cause them to walk out and think they have the right to destroy their own life. So we ask your mercies to be with them. So likewise, we ask that thou remember Sister Millicent in a special way as she stands with the children this morning. We ask that thou remember her in a special way. Look down upon her with favor. Bless her heart. Strengthen her. Guide and direct her through. Continue to keep her and allow her to know that thou art God and besides thee, there is none other. And we're truly thankful for those that are on the phone. Sister Carol this morning, we ask that thou remember her in a special way. She's still desiring your touch and your healing power, which you've already done. Just allow her to have faith and know that it's going to carry her all the way through. And likewise, we ask, remember Sister Lillian, a special request on her behalf. Allow her faith to look up to thee for healing. Allow her to stretch out and just only touch, just only be able to touch the hem of the garment and draw out some healing power. It's already there. It's already there. So we ask that you to remember your people this morning. Remember Mr. Dalton this morning. We're thankful for him being in the house of God. And We're praying for this brother. We're praying for his family. We're praying for his daughter. We're praying for him to understand righteousness and holiness before thee. We're praying for him to come to thee and understand what must I do to be truly saved. So we ask that thou remember him in a special way. Allow your word to speak to him this day. Allow him to take it in and learn of thee and grow. We love him. We care for him. We're going to continue to pray for him and his family in a special way. We're truly thankful for Sister Blake being here this day. We ask that thou remember her in a special way. She put in a request for some others that are maybe listening in on the phone, some that may be down in Florida, some other loved ones and different ones. But we ask that thou remember them in a special way. But we truly ask that thou would bless her this morning and strengthen her and allow your spirit to be upon her and guide and direct her in all power and strength in your word. Now, have thine own divine way. If there's someone that I forgot to lift up this morning, it's not of the heart. It's only not remembering. But everyone that's under the sound of my voice, I ask that you would be blessed this day. And if you know not the Father, if you know not the Son, yield to the Word. Yield to his love. Yield to what he has done for you. The victory is already yours. Jesus has already gone before you and done the work. All you have to do is be obedient. Amen. So thank you this morning, Father, for hearing. Thank you for your blessings on my family. All's doing well. Jacob called last night and said he made it to shore. So we ask that thou continue to bless and remember Madeline in a special way. Likewise, remember her friend Kendall. As I continue to pray for him to press upon his heart to understand that marriage is honorable and the bed undefiled. So we ask that thou would continue to bless in that situation as well. Now have thine own divine way in your house this morning, the church of God, and truly keep us in thy name, for thy name is worthy of praise and honor and glory. For in Jesus' name we've gathered together. Amen.
Thank God. Glory to his precious name. I'm before you to offer prayer before we bring our tithes and offerings into the store. This is the fourth Sunday, and so the special offering for today is for missions, for missionaries. And we may place that in the center plate as we file by. We'll look to the Lord in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, dear God, for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, dear God, for hearing your children when they pray. Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for the privilege, dear God, of being called a child of God. And so we pray, dear Father, that you would bless, Lord, even as we bring our tithes and offerings into your storehouse in obedience to your word. Lord, we pray, dear God, that you would receive these tithes and offerings and use them according to your will, dear God, because, Lord, you are wiser than we are. And so we pray, dear God, that you would direct, Lord, in their use and their distribution, dear God. We pray, Lord, that you would multiply them, dear God, as only you can. And, Lord, we have seen you multiply, dear God, what the saints faithfully give to you. And we thank you, Lord, for that. We pray, dear God, that you would bless each gift and each giver and use both to your glory and honor. This we ask in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father's wondrous works we see in the earth, the sea and sky. He rules o'er all.
Mighty's not there for no reason. That word mighty's there because he is a mighty God we serve. And nothing he cannot do. Amen. Amen. Nothing he cannot do. That's why he said to Abraham, I am God Almighty. Amen. So thank the Lord that we serve a mighty God. Amen. Remember Brother Maurice and Sister Lawrence seen, they came to mind. Good to see you here, Brother Roberts, as well, as we had prayer and didn't see you here. So know that you were included in as the saints of God. Amen. Well, thank the Lord, saints. And at this time, we're going to offer up a word of prayer before our dear minister and sister comes before us to minister God's word this morning. Realize that God has provided a way for us to be in the house of God, to hear his voice from on high. Amen. Amen. And truly thank God for it. So as you, if you're able to stand, we'll ask you to stand and we'll have a word of prayer on behalf of God's servant this morning. Dear Father in heaven, once again, we come before thee in the name of Jesus and always recognizing the only name that is able to save a man's soul. And it's the only name that a man can claim for righteousness and holiness. We ask that thou would bless this day as you have allowed us to gather together in your house to hear your message, to hear your word. And we're thankful for the messenger that you sent before us this day. And we ask that thou would strengthen her, guide and direct her into all truth. And we realize that truth comes from the Spirit of God, because you said in your word that he would guide us into all truth. So we realize that you have anointed her this day with the Spirit of truth to proclaim your word. As she stands before us, and she stands at the brink of the field, looking out on the sheaves that need to be gathered together, we realize some stalks are tougher than others, and maybe a little harder to cut down. But you said that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Yes. So we realize that the word of God is sharper than a sword with two edges and able to cut down the tough stalk this morning. So we ask that you allow her to work in the field with your word to convince men of sin and convince men of what must I do to be saved. Now have thine own divine way. Bless her and strengthen her and allow her to know that you've given her authority this day to proclaim your word. For Christ's sake is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God for his goodness to me. Again, giving honor to Pastor Jenkins.
Amen.
Amen. To Brother Byrene. And I thank God for your prayer. Amen. Amen. Thank God. If I wasn't already touched, that it touched me again.
Amen.
It touched me again. I thank God. Again, just glad to be in the house of God. And those of you who know me, and you all do, know that I would, if there was a spot in here that I could stand other than right here, I would. But as Jesus said when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So we thank God for his goodness and standing here in faith. Brother Byrene was emphasizing that point with Matthew in Sunday school class that the walls of by faith the walls of Jericho fell. And so the Lord could make the walls of Jericho come down. He can help me to stand up. So I thank God for his goodness. Amen. Solicit your prayers. Our responsive reading was found in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. But our scripture text, and we will go back, we will make reference to that in several places in 2 Peter, but our scripture text is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28. Hebrews 9. 28, and it reads, "So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Praise our God. It says, "Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Now, them that look for him, it will for them it will be unto salvation. But even if those who aren't looking for him, he's still going to appear because he is coming back. There is no doubt because God's word cannot fail. And God's word tells us that he is coming. Jesus said he's coming back. So the thought that we want to explore this morning is, are you expecting Jesus? He's coming. Are you expecting Jesus? Because we know that if there's something that you are expecting, then you anticipate. You make preparations many times. If someone's coming to your home and you've made arrangements for that, you've spoken with them and they're coming, then you're ready when they arrive. You know, if you're sitting there and you've kind of packed it in for the day and you're sitting in your pajamas and the doorbell rings, Somebody in your household might say, were you expecting anyone? Because you're not dressed so to receive guests. It wasn't on your mind that anyone was coming by. So the question again that we're asking, are you expecting Jesus?
Amen.
Now, there was, as I was studying for this message, I read an account, and it's true. It was a man named Carl McCunn, who he liked the outdoors, and he liked to photograph the outdoors. And he went into the Alaska wilderness to photograph the beauty of Alaska. You know, the tundra and the mountains and all the many things and the glaciers and all the things in Alaska that are there. So he went there to photograph the beauty of the tundra, and he made elaborate preparations. He had plenty of photo equipment. He had film. He had food. He had emergency supplies, but he forgot one critical item. He didn't make any arrangements for the bush pilot to come back and fly him out. He waited, but no one came to his rescue. In November of 1981, he died about 225 miles northeast of Fairbanks, Alaska. So he had made elaborate plans for his stay, but he made no plans for his departure. No plans for leaving. And when you think about, there are many people this day, they make elaborate plans for this life. And they buy all manner of things, and they try to make their life pleasurable here. But they make no plans for their departure from this life, because this life is not all there is. Just a passing through. Amen. And in fact, I looked, and he had, they said he had opportunities to get out, even though he had made arrangements for his departure. But they say he was told that 5 miles away from where he was, there was a cabin that had some food in it and so on. He was previously told about that. And because while he was there, he kept a diary. He took photographs and he kept a diary of everything that he was going through. There was even a state trooper that flew over him. And he briefly waved at the trooper. And then he walked back to his camp. So he had opportunities. Even though he didn't originally make plans for his departure from there, there were opportunities that he had to get out. And although he survived for several months, he ultimately was starving. He could not find enough food. They say he was trapping rabbits and so on. But by the time he got to them, the wolves had got to them. And so the wolves had eaten most of it. So most of what was left of the rabbit was the feet, sometimes the head. And so he was starving. He was in despair. He was said he was praying that God would help him. But to my way of thinking, the fact that there was a cabin there 5 miles away, that there was food, was God helping him. The fact that there was a trooper, state trooper that flew over, that was God helping him. And he just waved a wave so that the pilot thought, well, I mean, you must be all right. His father even said that he didn't want anyone else to have to go through when his body was eventually found months later. His father said he didn't want anyone else to have to go through that. Eventually, he was so in despair that he committed suicide. He signed a note to his father, attached his driver's license to it, and he killed himself at the age of 35. He had not made any preparations for his departure. That's in a literal sense. In a spiritual sense, what about us? What about our departure from this life? At some point, each one of us is going to step off into eternity. At some point, each one of us, whether it's by death of this body or when Jesus comes again, either way, each of us is going to step off into eternity. Still in Hebrews 9th chapter, that 27th verse, we read the 28th, but the 27th verse says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." Jesus will return.
Amen.
So what arrangements have you made for your departure? Are you expecting Jesus? And we know there are many people, many, many people who believe that Jesus was born in a manger. They even use that holiday, Christmas, to celebrate what they say is celebrating Christ. They have that saying, he's the reason for the season. He really is not. He is not. Jesus has nothing to do with that holiday season that man has invented, that people call Christmas. But they do believe that he was born in a manger and the Word of God, he was born and was laid in a manger, and the Word of God does tell us that. There are many others who believe that he was hanged on a cross and that he died for the sins of the world. But some of these people don't commemorate his death, burial, and resurrection as Jesus said to. Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20. Because Jesus told us what we are to do to commemorate his death. Luke 22:19. "And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." So this, and the console here even says it, this is what we are to do in memory of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But some people commemorate his dying on a cross by wearing a gold chain, a gold cross on a chain, or a silver cross on a chain. That's not what Jesus said to do. Jesus didn't say to put on jewelry that's in the shape of the cross on which I died. There's some who even believe that he rose from the dead and went to heaven. But the scriptures go farther than that, because there are those who believe that Jesus went to heaven and that he will forever stay there. But there's another part of his obedience to God the Father that's included with what Jesus has to do. And that has not happened yet. That has not occurred yet. Shall we turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 5. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And then we'll jump down a little farther. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Go down to verse 9. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Praise our God. This same Jesus that you have seen taken up into heaven shall so come in like manner.
Amen.
So he's coming again. It behooves us to be expecting him.
Amen.
But I'm persuaded that not many people, perhaps only a few, are actually expecting Jesus to come again.
Amen.
Even people who say that they believe in God, even people who say that they are a Christian, but not many of them are expecting for him to come again. As the scripture in the Act that we just read says, he will come. Because if they expected him, they would live differently than we see them living all around us. They're doing some of everything, are they not? My. And what do we see? Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, that's in the book of Genesis, but that could have been written for right now. It's true now. The wickedness of man is great in the earth. And as we look around, we see the evidence, the manifestation that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart is only evil continually. My Lord, my Lord.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. We know that the reference to the scripture in Genesis was what prompted God. We were told that it repented God that he had made man. But we know that he found Noah to be upright. And God saved just those 8 souls. Noah, his companion, his 3 sons, and their companions. Just those 8 souls. But the scripture in Genesis 6 that's referenced is made mention of here in Matthew chapter 24. References made to that same scripture. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So as those days were, and we see the signs now, we see the same earthly situation happening. We see men's hearts being wicked the same way. We see people disregarding and rejecting God and his word and his way. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Jesus is coming. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Don't we see that happening now? Don't we see them eating and drinking? they're marrying and giving in marriage, and now they don't care who they marry. They'll marry a same-sex person. They'll marry an opposite-sex person. They'll marry somebody. There's people walking around saying they don't have any. They don't have any gender. This is where we have come to, and this is where we are now. And this is what they were doing until the day that Noah entered into the ark. We had better be in the ark of safety, and the only ark of safety is in Jesus now. Because with all the things that they were doing, eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, doing everything that they thought they were big enough to do, just like people now. Verse 39 says, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. But we know that when Jesus comes again, it will not be with a flood. We know from what we read in 2 Peter, that third chapter, that this old earth is going to melt with fervent heat. We look at the news reports on what happened in Hawaii, and I heard Brother Byron made mention of that. And there were people there who said the fire, it came in so fast. They didn't have any warning. They couldn't get out. There were some people who burned up sitting in their cars. It was just so fast. This one man said he was in his house and he turned around and it was just there. So if that's what has happened now, can we imagine what the coming of the Son of Man will be like?
My Lord,
are you expecting Jesus? Because if you are expecting Jesus, you need to get in a safe place. And that space, then that safe place is not a physical structure. That safe place is in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That safe place is in the church of God. Praise our God. So we see, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when Jesus comes again. So we have to be ready. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Again, we're talking about the signs of the times, the things that we're seeing now, that let us know that his return is very near.
Yes.
2 Timothy 3, 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. We see 16-year-olds committing suicide. We see people shooting people. We see people shooting their neighbors. We see people, young people, stealing cars and crashing them where they could be killed. And it's only by the grace of God that more of them have not been killed. But these are the perilous times that we are in. People walking around with guns strapped to them. And our legislators passing laws that say they can. And say that if they feel threatened, they can stand their ground and shoot you, and then the questions will be asked later. These are the perilous times that we are in, where you can be driving in your car on the freeway and someone can just drive by and take a pot shot at you. These are the perilous times that we are in that let us know that Jesus, the second advent of Jesus is very near. So the Lord wants us to know that this know also, so you don't have to guess. We can know that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covenant, as we read these, think about the things that we're seeing, even the encounters that we have. Sometimes you go into the grocery store and someone will be cutting up with the cashier. Various things that we see these things happening all around us. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, hello, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, just out of control, fierce, despisers of those that are good. There are times when someone may even be trying to help them but they're despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. So let's say they're a Christian, but denying the power thereof.
Yes.
And those who truly are children of God are instructed from such turn away. We're not to follow them. It says from such turn away, because a form of godliness is not sufficient. A form of godliness is not acceptable in the sight of God.
Amen.
Why have a poor, weak, fake imitation when you can have true power?
Amen.
You can have true salvation.
Amen.
Praise our God.
Amen.
We also see that people are very self-absorbed.
Yes.
Just me and mine and what I want, and I want it now. And you know, we see it in older people, and the young people are picking up on it, and they're coming out the same way.
Yes.
Mankind has many plans. They make many presumptions about what they're going to do, when they're going to do it, what they're going to earn, what they're going to buy, and so on, and what they're not going to do. But we know that this is not pleasing in God's sight, but it does show us the times that we are in. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. As there are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. So it's not man's idea. It's not man's plan. The counsel of the Lord is what shall stand. And if that's contrary to what God's plan is, then man's plan will be destroyed. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 13. Woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness, and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's services without wages, and giveth him not for his work, that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. You know, we see people who are building huge homes, but they won't come into the house of God. They've got, it says they use their neighbor's services without wages. So that's defrauding your neighbor. That's stealing. That's a thief. Someone does work for you and you don't give them wages for their work, that's stealing. My Lord, we can't be a child of God and do that. My Lord. But we see that man puts a lot of his effort and his love, if truth be told, into things, the things of this world, because of man's plan. James chapter 4, verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. We see people doing that. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. I've got my five-year plan. I'm going to do thus and so and thus and so. I've got a five-year plan for the near future. I've got a 10-year plan for farther out. I got a 15-year plan, and then I'm going to retire. But we don't know. That verse 14 says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. God is not accepting of that. Some might say, well, I'm just trying to be well prepared. No, rejoicing in that, the Lord's word says, is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. These are man's presumptions, man's plans. But this is not in preparing for our departure and being at peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 6, Revelation chapter 6, verse 16. Because there are those who think that they're going to be able to stand. As we said earlier, there are some who don't think Jesus is even coming back. But verse 16 says, and said to the mountains and rocks, and this is what they'll be trying to say, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. I mean, you think about that phrase, normally we think of a lamb as being meek and mild and harmless. But this lamb is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he comes, he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. So they'll be trying to hide from the wrath of him that sitteth on the throne, God our Father, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? We have to make plans for our departure now. We have to live so that we are acceptable in God's sight now. There will be no getting ready. We have to be ready and stay ready. Luke chapter 12. Let's turn to Luke chapter 12. There was a man who was presumptuous. Jesus told this parable. A man who was just so sure. He wasn't planning for his departure. He was planning for what his land had brought forth then. Luke chapter 12, beginning with verse 13, says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. So you see, this young man's his heart was fixed on getting an inheritance. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? This is Jesus talking. Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, no, it doesn't say he asked God, what must I do? He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? He really was not responsible for the land bringing forth plentifully. Amen. God provided the rain. God provided the sunlight. God provided the air. God provided the good ground. So he really hadn't done anything. He had planted seeds, but God had done the rest. But he said, what shall I do? Because look at how many I's that are in these verses. Just watch how many I's. So again, 17, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, there's no more I in here. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He wasn't expecting for that to happen. He thought he had everything covered. He thought he could take his ease. But he never factored in that God was in control. That it was only by the grace of God that he was even alive. And God saw fit to take his life. And now, who shall those things be? There are people who just do not think there anything's ever going to happen. They don't think that their departure will ever come about. They're not expecting Jesus. People in general, they give little thought to Jesus' second coming. And some even have the wrong idea about that. They say when Jesus comes again, he's going to set up a kingdom on earth, and he's going to have a throne, and he's going to rule for 1,000 years. That's absolutely wrong. That's absolutely wrong. So it pays. We've got to know the truth of God's word.
Amen.
It will profit us. It will profit our very soul to know the truth of God's word. That millennial teaching is a lie from the pit of hell. It's from the devil, who was a liar. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. And he thinks that if he can delude people and fool people into thinking that if they don't get right now, they'll have another 1,000 years to get it right, and hell will not be their home. But that's a lie from Satan. That's a lie. But people are living in ways that we've just outlined, where they don't expect Jesus to come back. They're not making any preparations, just as that young man who was left out in the bush. Jesus was even expected even for his first advent. We're told in Luke chapter 2, we're told of a man named Simeon, an old man. He was a devout man. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. And Simeon lived with an expectation. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And so we know he was devout. We know he was a man of God, because the Holy Ghost would not have been upon him if it were not so. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. We can see that this man was led of the Spirit. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. The Lord has prepared before the face of all people a Savior. And Simeon was expecting the Lord Jesus. 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. So the Holy Ghost had even shown to Simeon, even though Simeon was in the temple and Simeon was a Jew, he had shown him that Jesus was coming not only for Israel, but also his salvation was going to save the Gentiles as well. Praise our God. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. So he even prophesied knowing that Jesus was going to be reviled. Jesus was going to be smitten. The Holy Spirit had shown him this. 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. So he had an expectation. He was expecting the Lord Jesus, and he knew the Lord God had promised him, the Holy Spirit had promised him, that he would not see death until he saw the great salvation in the person of Jesus Christ that God would send. So Simeon expected Jesus. He expected the Savior. Jesus foretold it. Luke chapter 21. Praise our God. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. Do we not see this? With perplexity, they don't know what to do. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, we're told what to do, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We've got to live with an expectation for our redemption, not just the redemption of our soul, but the redemption of the body as well. Because when Jesus comes again, we shall all be changed. The time of his coming is not known, but we still have to prepare. Matthew chapter 24. We don't know when he's coming, but we're told that we have to be ready. Matthew chapter 24, verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Amen. And look at verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But we still have to live expecting him, because he will not fail. He is coming.
Amen.
Luke chapter 12, verse 40. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. People who are making big plans for this or that or the other, but the Lord is coming in an hour when they think not. My Lord. Revelation 16, 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. We've got to have on our spiritual garments. We've got to have on robes of righteousness. Because if there is sin there, that's a nakedness before God. But he's coming as a thief. We know that if we're told if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would no doubt have sat up and watched. But we have to watch our lives, watch our walk, watch our obedience to the Lord, watch our submission to him, watch our daily walk. Praise our God. Watch living in the spirit and not in the flesh. Thank God for his goodness.
Amen.
Even though we don't know the time of his coming, yet, according to his word, we have to expect him anyway, at any time. And we have to have that expectation all the time. We don't know when it will be, but we do know that the time of his coming is near. Philippians 4, 5. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Praise our God. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Amen. So let your moderation be known to all men. We're told that part of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. We have to be temperate in all things. So it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand.
Amen.
James 5, 8. The Lord would have us to be established. The Lord would have us to be settled. James 5, 8. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so we dare not just mess around living this life thinking that everything's going to be all right, thinking that we're doing okay, thinking that we're prospering. If our soul is not prospering, then we're not prospering. Matthew chapter 24. We'll begin with verse 30. Praise our God. We know his coming is near. Verse 30. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors.
Amen.
Are you expecting it? Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So that's saying, believe what Jesus said, believe what I am telling you. Heaven and earth shall pass away. It didn't say may. Heaven and earth shall pass away. But this word that Jesus is speaking shall not pass away. It's going to come to pass. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. I mean, right in the middle of things, when we say one shall be taken and the other left. Now, we're not talking about rapturing folks.
Amen.
Let's have an understanding. This is not, no. We're talking about there's some will be in the kingdom of God, will be expecting Jesus, and will be in the kingdom of God and will be taken to live with him, and others who are out of the ark of safety, others who have not, who are not expecting him, others who are not saved will not be in the kingdom of God and will receive that recompense of reward that we know is hell. That's it. So with this is not talking about rapturing folks and people disappearing and things like that, even though Hollywood is making whole movies about these things and has people believing that that's so. It is not. That's another lie from the pit. You see, the devil throws many things out there to see who he can snag. But this is telling us we've got to be ready. 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Praise our God. So Lord Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? He's coming. Do you expect him? Or will it be a big surprise? I pray not. I pray not. Why is he coming? Why is he coming back a second time? Some might might think, well, he was here already. He died on the cross. Why is he coming back? Well, we've already established it's not to set up a kingdom on earth. That's not why he's coming back. And when he comes back, it will be at the command of his Father. And it won't be before that time. When we say, why is he coming back? Matthew 16, 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. If we're living righteously, we'll get the reward of a righteous person, a child of God. If we're living unrighteously, sinfully, well, there's a reward there too, but it will be because of the works that have been done. And some might think, well, hell is not a reward, but it is judgment according to the word of God. It is God's judgment. Matthew chapter 25, verse 32. Why is he coming? And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. So separation will be made between what's holy and what's unholy. Between those that obeyed his word and those who were a rebellious people. Between those who were saved and those who were unsaved. Between the righteous and the wicked. And that separation, in order for you to move from the camp of the goats to become one of his sheep, you must be saved now. You cannot wait until that great day when Jesus comes again and say, well, all right, I think it's time for me to separate from my wicked deeds now, because then it will be too late. That's why we have to live as though we have to live because we expect him. We live righteously before him. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God. So those things that people have thought were hidden, those things that they had done that they thought no one else knew about, the Lord's going to bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, because the Lord knows each and every heart. If there are people who they might put on an act of righteousness, but as the scripture that we read said, they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. If we don't have the power of God working in your life, then you don't have God. Praise our God. Jude 15. Thank the Lord. Why is he coming? A second time? To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jesus is going to settle all business when he comes again. Amen, amen. Yeah, I was thinking there was something that was on TV. It was one of those the Godfather. They were talking about quotes that people have from the Godfather, that Godfather and those mafia people. And they said, the one said, we're going to settle all family business. Well, when Jesus comes again, all that has been spoken of in his word will be settled. Everything will be brought into judgment. Nothing will be hidden from him. All will be exposed. Are we expecting him? Don't allow yourself to get caught out there not expecting him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 10. Praise our God. Why is he coming? And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, those that know not God and those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are people who say, well, I know God. If you're not obeying the gospel, if you're not, and Brother Byron brought this up, and he spoke this in the message yesterday at the food pantry. You know, if you don't know Jesus, then you don't know God. If you won't obey the commandments of Jesus, then you're none of God. You can't separate and say, "Well, I'm God's, but I don't believe in Jesus." You cannot have one without the other, because Jesus and his Father are one. You can't divide one. Cannot do that. So he's coming, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, there are people who say, oh, well, God is so good. And he is. His mercies, he's been merciful. His compassions fail not. He's loads us with benefits. He loves us. He gave his only begotten son to die for our sins. But God will bring all unrighteousness into judgment. He's taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Just think about that. Everlasting destruction. Usually when someone sees the word destruction, they think of something that's being torn down, and at some point the destruction is going to end. But that's not what this scripture says. Everlasting destruction, being destroyed throughout all of eternity, from the presence of the Lord. And that's the second part of the tragedy, to be separated from the Lord, to be separated from the presence of the Lord, not to be able to even lift up a prayer to God because he will not hear. To be separated, to be punished with that everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. If we belong to him, then we can be in the presence of the glory of his power. But if not, then we fall into the other camp, where we're in the camp of those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, separated from the presence of God. Verse 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, that's where I want to be. And to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Yeah. Praise our God. Yeah. So those who are saved, those who believe, must stand. Yeah. We must live so that our life is a testimony that will be believed by someone else. When they see how we live, they will believe, well, it is possible to live for God. It is possible to live without sin. It is possible to obey the words of the Bible. It is possible to obey the commandments of God and of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, as he said, and my commandments are not grievous. The Lord is not asking us to do something that he will not equip us to do. But we've got to have the grace and the faith to believe it and to stand on his word. But I like that part where in that verse 10 it says, and to be admired in all them that believe. Amen. Amen. There's a song that the saints would sing. We'll understand it better by and by. We'll tell the story, how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. There may be things that we have to go through. There may be trials. There are afflictions, the troubles. Sometimes on this hand and on this hand. But when the Lord brings us through, there's a testimony. There's an experience. There will be a song that the saints can sing that the angels cannot sing because the angels will not have gone through what the saints have gone through. Praise our God. And so we have to live as though we expect Jesus to come today. We have to live so that if someone sees our life, they'll know that God is real in us. They'll know that we serve the Lord Christ. They'll know that they can have him too. And if they ask us, they can know how we know. If they ask us, they can know how we live and how we're able to conquer, how we're able to get victory over just the issues of life because we trust in the Lord. Thank God for his goodness. So what is the believer's outlook? It's good. It's good. And an outlook is a mental view or an attitude. Are we living? Is our attitude such that we expect Jesus? Outlook is also an expectation or prospect. What are your prospects with Jesus? Are you looking for him?
Amen.
Is your departure sure? Is your calling and election sure? How must the child of God live? Well, we're going to have to redeem the time, aren't we? Ephesians chapter 5. See then, chapter 5, verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, that's carefully, not in a foolhardy way, not recklessly, not trying to get as close to sin as you possibly can, but see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We read about the evilness of this day and time. Wherefore be ye not unwise. Don't be unwise. Don't be foolish. Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And how do we know his will? From his word. We know his will from his word. We don't have to guess, nor do we have to listen to someone who, when we read his word and we know what his word says, if someone else comes up talking something else, we can reject that and say, that's not what God's word teaches. Let me tell you what God's word does say. We don't have to be tossed or carried about with other winds of doctrine that are not the truth. So we are not to be unwise. That lets us know we are to be wise, doesn't it? Be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And I'm persuaded this. It could be literal wine, but don't be drunk with this world. Don't get caught up in the things that will cause you to people. There are people just walking around just kind of out of their minds with things, just from a worldliness that's going on, from the things that they see happening all around us, and they get caught up in organizations and various other things. Sometimes people's families will try to bring in things and get them all twisted and tied up. Don't get drunk with that. Don't get intoxicated with the things of this world. You know, that even the law, even the traffic laws, they won't let you drive if you're under the influence. How can you be a child of God if you're under the influence of the world? If you're under the influence of the devil. Amen. I mean, the traffic, what they call it, DUI, driving under the influence. We don't want to be living under the influence of anything that's not like God. Praise our God. Psalm 90:12. If the Lord would have us not to just leave our hearts just out there open for anything to crawl in. Not the Psalm 90:12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. This tells us what we need to be doing as believers. This is what we have to do to be sure that we remain in an expectant pose waiting for Jesus. Amen. We thank God for his goodness. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Amen. The wrong one on here. First Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Amen. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So, and we understand our holy conversation is our conduct. The way that we conduct ourselves, whether we're around the saints or if we're on our job, if we're in a store, in our neighborhood, how we conduct ourselves in order to be ready. Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. Amen. Therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And I know that some of these scriptures, they're saying the same thing, and I think a time or two I've repeated a scripture. But it's important that we know. It's important that we be ready. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, that goes back to our responsive reading. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. And we're even called beloved. And that's what God's children are. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, because Jesus is coming, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The Lord would not have us to be spotted with sin, to be marred with sin. But we are to be blameless, without spot. We know that Jesus was blameless. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And so we have to be like Jesus in order to be found of him in peace. Because if we're not, we cannot be found of him in peace. We will be called to account for those things that we did that we knew were sin. Praise our God. Thank God. We have to be godly. Titus 2. Titus 2, verses 11 through 13. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, not in some world to come, but right now. And God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. We're to be blameless. We're also to be harmless. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian Christians. He said, as ye have always obeyed. So he had confidence in their lives. They had a good testimony. He says, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's what we have to do every single day. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It's by the power of God that working in us. And when we want to do his will and his good pleasure, he's able to make us able to do that. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That just lets us know that is not pleasing to God.
Amen.
Murmurings and disputing. That's so when we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we have to work that out too. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. When we think of our Sunday school lessons that we had this quarter, we think about the children of Israel. And for 40 long years, they were murmuring and disputing. For everything. God was blessing them. God was feeding them. God was giving them water to drink. God gave them quail. They were murmuring. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to stone Moses and Aaron. They always had a complaint. You know, why'd you bring us out here to die in this wilderness? Oh, we remember the leeks and the garlic and the fish back in Egypt. But they were in bondage. That murmuring is the sign of discontent in the heart. And if God is providing for us, if God is blessing us, that discontent angers God. When he provided his son, who provided salvation for us, and then murmuring and complaining and no. Murmurings and disputings, that's against God. And people don't think that they think they're just murmuring against a person. But if they claim to be a child of God and they're murmuring and complaining, that's really dishonoring God.
Amen.
So what does God want for us? Verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Hey, that's what God wants us to be.
Amen.
That's the believer's outlook, to be blameless and harmless. So in the day of judgment, when Jesus comes again, we would be without rebuke. And even now, because we know we're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. We read scriptures to that effect. We see it all the time. But we have to shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. We don't want to frustrate the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. We want to hold forth the word of life by living a life that is pleasing to God. Praise our God. Praise our God. Now, what about the unsaved? What's their outlook? What's our outlook? What's the outlook if one dies in sin? Or if they're physically alive, if Jesus should not tarry, if Jesus were to come back tomorrow and someone is in sin and Jesus should find them lost and undone, even if they're alive when Jesus comes again, but they've not been born again and they're still living in sin. And when we say sin, sin as God defines sin. There are people who say, well, no, I don't commit much sin. Now, that doesn't even make sense, if you think about it. But sin, God sees sin as exceedingly sinful. And just a reference, God, by God's definition of sin, not our own feelings of whether we've sinned or not. 1 John 5:17 says all unrighteousness is sin. Romans 14:23 says whatsoever is not of faith is sin. 1 John 3:4 says willful transgression of God's law is sin. When people just, they know it's wrong, but they go ahead and they do it anyway. They know it's God's law. They know that God's law says don't do it, but they do it anyway. To know to do good and to do it not, that's sin. That's James 4:17. We read that scripture earlier. We're even told in Proverbs 24:9, the thought of foolishness is sin. And there are a lot of people with a lot of foolish thoughts nowadays. Even to the point where, if we're going to be a child of God, we're told, Titus told us, we have to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. God doesn't want us to be silly. That's not what God is calling for us to be. How can we win someone else to Christ if we're silly and messing around and joking around and jesting and so on and telling jokes and so on all the time? That's not of God.
Amen.
So what's the remedy? If you've lived a life here, but you need to, you need to be saved. You're living a life that God has been merciful to you, but you know that you're not living to all that the Word of God says that you should be doing. You need to be making plans for your departure. What can you do? What can you do to have any hope? We think of the man who was out, who was stranded out there, that we spoke of at the beginning of the message. The man who went out there and he made plans for everything else, elaborate plans, but he did not plan for his departure. What must someone who's lost in sin do? John 3:3. Jesus gives the direct instruction. He was talking with Nicodemus and he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So Jesus was saying, be born again. Same chapter, verse 5. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. How do you prepare? Be born again. And just to emphasize it, verse 7 of that same chapter, Jesus said, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Three times Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That is the remedy. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Praise our God. The remedy is to be born again. The remedy is to give up the sin business. Because 1 John 3:9 says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. God's word remains in you. And you cannot sin because you don't want to go against God's word. You don't want to break God's word. And so if you're born of God, you do not sin. So when someone says, oh, well, everybody sins more or less every day, that's a lie, another lie from the pit. That pit is getting full, isn't it? It's another lie. Because a child of God, someone who is born of God, does not commit sin.
Amen.
For God's seed, God's word, remains in him. That means you've got to do maintenance. You've got to do seed maintenance. You've got to make sure that the word of God is dwelling in you. We're told, let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you. And because you're born of God, you can have victory over sin, over self, over this world. Praise our God. 1 John 5:18 says, we know that, again, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. We have to know that.
Amen.
And if we're born of God, we have to know that we cannot be out there sinning. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God, that is born again, that he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. The wicked one can't even touch you when you're kept by the word of God, by the Spirit of God. And that's why we're told in James chapter 4 that if we submit ourselves to God, and we resist the devil, he's the one that's going to flee. We're not running. He's fleeing. Praise our God. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Praise our God. We're talking about what one can do. If they hear this, hear what we're saying and say, well, I'm not expecting Jesus. I'm not ready. This is the remedy. This is what you can do. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Amen. So we have to die to sin in order to be alive unto Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, meaning we died to sin. Baptism is not just a form. Baptism is not just going up and getting water thrown on you or stepping in the water and then getting out and drying off. If your heart has not been changed, then the baptism doesn't avail for anything. If preparation has not been made in the heart, then baptism does not avail. Baptism doesn't symbolize the fact that you're dead to sin, because if you're still in sin, the baptism does not save you. Therefore, we are buried with him, with Christ, by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead. No, like as Christ, not just any old thing, but like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, because we have been raised from a dead life in sin by the glory of the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we should walk in newness of life, not that old life that should be shed, but we have to walk in newness of life. Praise our God. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
Amen.
Knowing this. This is another knowing this. See, this is, we have to know some things.
Amen.
Amen. How many scriptures have we had that said we know,
Amen.
Or knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, not petted up, not put back in the back of the closet, not hid away in a box down in the basement, but that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's God's will for us. That's his will. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We have to walk in newness of life because we are a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Not just some things. All things are become new. Amen. St. John chapter 14. St. John chapter 14. Verses 15 through 17. And what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever.
Yes.
Even the Spirit of truth. Even the Spirit of truth. And that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because the world doesn't want truth. They would rather believe a lie and be damned because of their unbelief. But we're talking about the Spirit of truth here, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Amen. To be led by the Spirit of God. We're told in one place, they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Amen.
You can't let us know, except we be led by the Spirit of God, we're none of his. We're not the Lord's. No matter what we may try to claim, we're not the Lord's. Praise our God. Let's go back to 2 Peter, back to our reading. 2 Peter chapter 3. We know that scoffers are here now. Scoffers, again, as the scripture says, they say, where is the, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. But Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
They may scoff. They may say, where is he? But God, but the Lord in his mercy has restrained his hand. Verse 8, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. God's word has not failed. So God, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Lord has restrained his hand. But verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Are you expecting Jesus? Because the earth is going to be destroyed. It's going to be dissolved. That's what we're told in that verse 10. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So the thing that people are putting so much effort into, so much of their effort and their money and their attention and so on, that's going to be burned up. So are you expecting Jesus? Please prepare for him now, because he may come at a time when you're not ready. He may come at a time when you are not ready. 2 Peter chapter 3, look at verses 17 and 18. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things, see, we have to know. Seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. So we see, even when we're saved, we still have to expect him, because we do not want to fall from our own steadfastness. He said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it didn't put an age limit on this growing in grace. You could have been saved for 2 months, and there's still room to grow in grace. You could have been saved for 55 years, and there's still room to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I think of Sister Holmes on Wednesday night, and she's ready. She's ready for the word. If we're reading out of our Sunday school books, she wants to know, what page are we on? Where are we? And just everyone needs to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise our God. And Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. Verse 32, but of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now think what that's saying. When Jesus comes again, he'll come because his Father sent him back. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No man knows it. Not the angels. The angels don't know it. Neither the Son. Jesus Christ does not know the day, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Are you watching? Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. In other words, not ready, spiritually asleep. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Praise our God. There was a song that the choir sang from time to time. We're talking about preparing for your departure. As have you any time for Jesus? And the first verse said, have you any time for Jesus? We talk about people who are pursuing all the things of this world, but they don't expect for Jesus to come back. And so they're running after various things of this world. Have you any time for Jesus while the fleeting moments roll? Is this mortal life so busy that you cannot save your soul? Have you any time for Jesus? Can it be life's journey through that you have no time to serve him who has spent his life for you? Time for business, time for pleasure, time to revel on in sin. Will you not take time for Jesus? Oh, invite him to come in. If you have no time for Jesus, ere you pass beyond the blue, in the resurrection morning, he will have no time for you. And the chorus reads, soon the summons from the portals of the mansions in the sky may be sounding your departure. You must then take time to die. My Lord, have you sought God so that you're prepared for your departure? Are you expecting Jesus? Will you be at peace with him?
Amen.
I pray for each and every one of you and myself also, that we would make our calling and election sure with God, because Jesus is coming soon. He's coming back to claim his church, but he's also coming back in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that obey not the gospel of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you expecting Jesus? May the Lord bless you today.
Amen. 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 Well, God bless you, and God bless his word that was given this day. Thank the Lord for it. Are you expecting Jesus? Amen. You know, as I sat and listened to this, are you looking for him, planning your departure? You know, the Lord just brought me back off of airplane flights. And you run off of one airplane, and first thing, people are over there pushing and looking to see their departure when there are other departing flights there and getting ready. Actually, we had to do likewise. On our way back, we had two flights. And we had to get off, and we had to hustle clear across that Chicago airport, which is real long, and you're a hustler. You're a hustler because you know you have a departing flight. And if you miss it, or however that is, I don't know how you, but you can miss them possibly. But we were hustling. You got those things. They got those little things you can step on and that kind of zoom you a little faster than you can walk. And as the minister was given the word of God, I thought about how people understand departing. They're planning all kinds of things. Even while I was there, Steve, Judy's brother-in-law, married to his sister, her sister, he sat down and he was talking with me. He said, I had Ann, Pat, Mary, and myself. He said, and I bought them all grave sites. So he's planning for his departure. He's planning for that part of his departure because he knows he's got to die. But I recognize his soul wasn't planning for the departure of meeting Jesus. My Lord, my Lord. Wonderful message, wonderful understanding. Are you planning for your departure or are you expecting Jesus? Amen. Truly thank God for the message and the messenger. She couldn't have put it more plain. God couldn't have put it more plain to any of us, the understanding how vital it is to be prepared. Because this is a departing life. Just like when you get in that airport, you're not there but to fly in and depart out somehow. And this life, you've been born into it, and you are going to depart from it. Are you planning for that departure? Amen. I truly thank God for the message and the messenger. And if there's any that heard those words, not only with their ears, but also with their heart, and realize how important it is to get ready to depart. And once you're ready to depart, stay ready. Amen. 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 Sister Melissa.
Thank you.
Page 399 in the worship of the Lord. Will you come?
My Lord.
Will you come to Jesus? He is calling. Will you come to him without delay? He is full of love, so kind and gracious. He will surely save your soul today. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come? Will you come to Jesus full of mercy? Will you give him time and talents too? Will you not prepare to reign in glory? Sinner, to your precious soul be true. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come to Jesus? Do not grieve him. He has paid the ransom for your soul. Tarry then no longer, just receive him, and in mercy he will make you whole. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come?
You know, we do this every Sunday. We have a message from the Lord, and then we have a closing song. And it can become kind of routine, you know, routine things in life we can just do and continue to do until it maybe even catches up with us.
Mm-hmm.
And it catches us unexpectedly.
Yeah.
You know, in this song, that second verse says, will you come to Jesus full of mercy? Will you give him time and talent too? Will you not prepare to reign in glory? Sinner, to your precious soul be true. Amen. It's not about my soul. I thank the Lord I surrendered.
Amen.
It's about to the soul that has not surrendered. Amen. That's why this song's being sung. This song's not being sung just for the closing of this service.
Mm-hmm.
This song is being sung to let you know that the message that just went forth is also asking you now, will you come?
Mm-hmm.
You just heard the message. You just heard that the Lord said, you have to depart this life.
Mm-hmm.
Are you expecting Jesus to come? That's what this song is all about.
Yeah.
It's asking you to come to the altar if you know him not in the free pardon of your sin. Amen. Amen. Don't wait a moment too late. Don't let a moment too late go by when others will be taken off and you have missed your flight. Amen. And you standing there looking and everybody else is going off to be with the Lord because you have missed your flight. He told us in his word, the saints will be gathered up and go up to the air to meet the Lord.
Yeah.
But where's the sinner going to be? He's going to be looking at us being gathered up to go. Just like you'd be standing in that airport looking out that window seeing your flight taking off because you missed your departure.
Yeah.
Amen. The Lord's trying to show us something. We can use some literal things to get an understanding. But this is serious. It is serious about our souls. God is coming back. The Lord is coming back. And he's only taken the righteous. Those have believed the gospel as she spoke. Believe the gospel. Amen. We'll sing that closing verse of this song. But as I said, the song is just not the closed service. This song is still in the spirit calling for your soul. Amen.
Will you come to Jesus? Time is flying. Do not wait a moment. Come just now. Many souls in sin each day are dying. Come and at his feet weep and bow. Will you come to him, the Lord of all? Will you come to him for mercy call? Will you come to him and prostrate fall? Will you come?
Amen. Well, we truly thank God for his word. We know that his word did what it was supposed to do. He said in his word that his word is profitable. Is given by the inspiration of God. So we know that sister was sent here by the inspiration of God to give us the word today.
Amen.
Something was said that was profitable for each soul that's in here this day. Amen. Those that need to grow and get stronger, and those that need to repent and come to the Lord. Amen. All right, let us look to the Lord in prayer and thank him for his word that was given. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, once again we bow before thee and we thank you for being in our presence through your word. You have spoken to us and let us know to expect your dear son and to expect his coming. Because he came once and he said he would come again. So we know to believe and believe your promises. Amen. That you will send him again to receive your church. So we ask that thou would have mercy on those that know thee not in the free pardon of their sins this day. Continue to speak to their hearts and their minds. Allow your spirit to go with them and go down into the deep part, as you said the word of God would do, the deep things. Dividing the spirit, soul from spirit, the bone and the marrow. So we know that the spirit is able to speak to a man's soul deeply when he's lying on his bed and his head's on the pillow and his eyes are open looking at the ceiling, wondering why something's speaking to him. Let him know it's you. Let him know that his soul's not right yet. Have thine own divine way. We thank you for the messenger. We thank you for the message that she brought. She did as you would have her to do. Now we ask that thou would bless your word, strengthen it in our hearts and in our minds, and allow us to know that thou hast spoken to us this day. For Christ's sake is our prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, truly thank God. Excuse me. Thank God for being here, and thank God for keeping us. Take care, brother. We'll see you again, Lord's will. All right. Truly thank God for being here and how he has blessed us to be in the house of God today and hear his word. Thank you, Sister Blake, for being faithful unto God and faithful to his word, faithful to your study. It's wonderful, wonderful scriptures, wonderful understanding. Amen. Amen. Anyone have anything they'd like to share? The message that was given. Amen. Sister Webb, go right ahead. Well, I see Sister Holmes' hand. We'll give way to her first. All right. Thank you. Sister Holmes? You, Sister Holmes, go right ahead. Amen. Thank you, Sister Holmes. Amen. Thank you, Sister Holmes. Amen. See how the word will fill you up? How God knows how to fill you up, that your cup runs over. Amen. Amen. That your cup runs over. That's what he says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sister Holmes is a witness of that.
Amen.
That her cup will run over. And I know I'll be able to go and be with the Lord when done with this life. Amen. Thank you, Sister Holmes, for your witness and your testimony on God's goodness. Amen. Sister Webb.
Right.
Jenkins. Oh, just little one, you got something to say? All right. Well, thank you, Infinity, for your testimony and letting us know what you deal with, too. And we enjoy that. And we'll keep praying for you, all right? And you keep, we'll keep loving you and you keep, okay? All right. Amen. Thank the Lord for you. Minister Jenkins. Thank the Lord for you, Minister Jenkins. Good to see you here. Thank God. Amen. Any others? Brother Williams, go right ahead. You got to speak up a little bit, brother, so I can make sure I hear you. My Lord, my Lord. Thank you, brother, and we're sorry to hear that abuse was taken out on your loved one. And truly, we'll hold you and your family up in prayer on behalf of that. Amen. Uh-huh. Bless you, Sister Holmes. Thank you. Thank you. Because it has to be made plain. Amen. It has to be made plain. And God's going to see it that way. That way he can judge, rightfully judge. See? So he's going to make sure it's plain so he can rightfully judge. Amen. Amen. God bless you, sis. Well, let us read the announcements. Sunday, August the 27th, 2023. Meditation. Hear this, all ye people. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor, together. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. Amen. So the Lord's letting us know that Psalms 49, 1 through 3. He's letting us know that all the inhabitants of the world should give ear. Give ear, all ye inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor. So it no matter who you are, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're low or whether you're high, you might be low down in life on something, or you might be up on a high pedestal in life, you still need to hear. Amen. My mouth shall speak of wisdom. And there is no wisdom against God. So what he's saying, you don't know anything better than what he's telling us. Amen. Your wisdom can't outdo God's. The meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. He wants us to have understanding. That's what Sister Holmes just spoke of. Make it plain. Amen. Announcements. Always pray one for another during the week. 1 Samuel 12:23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and the right way. Amen. Intercessory prayer will be rendered every Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. We are praying for lost souls and the souls of the saints. that God will keep them in his care. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So we truly realize that in these verses of scripture that God's concerned about us, and we should be concerned about him in our prayers and understanding that he will hear. Amen. So Brother Roberts, be encouraged that the saints will be praying, and we will pray even now, but we'll be praying on Tuesday earnestly about that condition. November turkey giveaway canister is always open to receive funds. Choir rehearsal next Sunday. For Sunday fellowship dinner following morning service today. All are welcome to stay and fellowship and eat. Normally you can smell something coming up. Maybe my nose could be a little bit.
Smell it.
Oh, okay. Well, then, good to know. Good to know. Good to know. It's just my sinuses. They're still full of smog. Yes, yes. Good to know. Good to know. If you can smell it, it must be good. Right? Amen. Let's see. First Wednesday of the month, bring a scripture or a testimony to share. All right. Not this Wednesday. I didn't think so. Okay. Wednesday Bible night study at 7 p.m. by phone. Remember to turn your phone off around 5:30 and to turn back on at 6:30 before service. And please mute your phones. Please pray for Brother Byron and all bringing scriptures. So learn how to mute your phone. It does help out. And I'm trying to be faithful and remember to mute mine. I talk a little more, so I don't click it off and on as much. Happy birthday blessings this week. Well, I don't see anyone on there. Okay. Thoughts for today. Those who died yesterday had planned for this morning. And those who died this morning had planned for tonight. Don't take life for granted. In a blink of an eye, everything can change. So forgive often and love with a full heart. You never know when you may not have the chance again. Okay. Amen. That's a good thought. That's a good thought. And all to think about some of those things, I guess. Amen. And remember those sick and shut in. There's a list there that each and every one of us can truly recognize these that are loved ones and those that need our prayers. Any other thoughts? No other thoughts? Amen. Beautiful message from Brother Tony. Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right, then at this time, let us stand, and we'll...
Sister Holmes brought this. This is from the dispatch. 2023 unclaimed funds accounts. They've put it in the paper periodically. The Ohio Department of Commerce, $3.9 billion is being safeguarded by the Ohio Division of Unclaimed Funds, and is available to be claimed by the rightful owner. You may have some funds that belong to you and not even realize it. Take a few minutes and review this insert to find out if you or someone you know has unclaimed funds or property. Unclaimed funds are lost or forgotten money that businesses and banks report to us after accounts become inactive, usually 5 years, and they are unable to locate the owner of the funds. The most common types of unclaimed funds turned over to the Division of Unclaimed Funds include checking and savings accounts, safe deposit box items, rents or security deposits, stocks and bonds, uncashed payroll checks, utility deposits, undelivered stock certificates,
uncashed insurance policy checks. So you can check to see if your name or a family member's name appear on the list. And there are instructions on here for how to do that. And we'll make this available.
Amen. Amen. 3.9 billion, that's some pretty good money.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty good money. All right.
And there's a list of names down here. Pages of names. So you may, the whole rest of the insert is all names. So you can see if your name is here.
Okay.
And if so, you may have, there's maybe some change that you can get. Oh, there's more sections of it. A lot of names here.
Oh, yeah. A lot of billions.
Yeah. So if you find your name, it tells you how to make a claim for your unclaimed money.
All right. Well, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Sister Holmes, for thinking of us.
Yeah.
Because some of us, we're in this world.
Mm-hmm.
We got stuff down there, stuff we might overlook or something we might overlook. And yeah, never know. Yeah. So, amen. Well, let us look to the Lord for dismissal and blessing the food that for all that are going to stay and eat. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, once again, we come before your throne and truly want to say thank you for this day and thank you for being in our presence. Thank you for allowing your word to come forth this day and speak to our hearts and minds and encourage us to continue to expect your son, because we know that he's coming. So we ask that thou will bless each and every one that listened in this day and heard with their hearts and with their minds, and that they are checking their soul to make sure that they are prepared for his coming. So we're thankful for the message and the messenger, and continue to have thine own divine way. Now we ask your blessings to be with those, that all of us, as we will depart from this building at some point in time,